Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series of lectures, Swami Nikhilanand relates the life history of some of the great saints of Indian history. He also explains important philosophy like what is a saint, how to be a saint, and how a guru helps the souls find God.
Prathamam Sadgurum Vande Shri Krishnan Tadanantaram Guru Papatmanam Tratam Shri Krishnas Vamalatmana. Kasturi Tilakam Lalat Patale Vakshasthale Kaustubham Nasagre Varamauktikam Karatale Sarvange Harichandanam Sulalitam Kanthe Chamuktavali Gopastri Parivestito Dijayate Gopal Chudamani Padarvindam Mukharvinde Vinivishayantam Bhatasya Patrasya Puteshayanam Balam Mukundam Manasa Smarami Yo Brahmanam Vidadhati Purvam Yo Vai Vedanscha Prahinoti tasmai Tagmangha devamatma buddhi prakasham Mumukchurvai Sharanamaham Prapadye.
Dear devotees, we'll have a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan, and after that I'll begin the topic of saint and guru.
Bhajo giri dhar Govinda Gopala. Thank you.
वृंदावन बिहारी लाल की।
सो नेक्स्ट ट्यूसडे इज गुरु पूर्णिमा, द फुल मून इन जुलाई इज ऑलवेज सेलिब्रेटेड इन ऑनर ऑफ गुरु, एंड गुरु इज एन एंशियंट ट्रेडिशन फ्रॉम इंडिया, फ्रॉम द बिगिनिंग ऑफ टाइम. सेंट्स इन द रोल ऑफ गुरु हैव हेल्प्ड सोल्स टू फाइंड गॉड. So we have a long tradition of gurus and a long tradition of great saints in India. So this week I'm going to share with you the stories of a few of those great saints as their life history is recounted in the Bhagavatam. But before we start with that, today I would like to lay some foundation of philosophy with which we can better understand the life history of these saints. So, to start with, what is a saint? The terms that we use in Sanskrit and in Hindi, they actually tell us the very definition of a saint. For instance, we use the word Mahatma, and we have another word Mahapurush. So, Mahatma, Mahatma, it's two words put together. Atma means soul, and Maha means great. So a Mahatma is a saint. But to understand specifically what that means, you have to know that there's three kinds of Atma. There's Jivatma, there's Mahatma, and there's Paramatma. Jivatma is all of us. So ordinary souls are called Jiv or Jivatma. And Supreme God, He is called Paramatma. Param means supreme. So the supreme soul. That doesn't mean that God is like our soul in terms of His size, because our soul is infinitesimal, infinitely small. And God is infinitely big. But He is called the soul of the souls because He pervades everything, including our soul, and He actually resides within our soul. So this is why it's said, Arno Raniyan Mahato Mahiyan Atma Guhayam Nihitos Yajanto. Kathopanishad says, describing God, that God is bigger than the biggest. Maha Mahiyan Atma. He's bigger than whatever is the greatest, biggest thing you can imagine. God is bigger than that because He envelops everything. But Arnodarniyan, He is also smaller than the smallest. What's the smallest? Our soul. It's smaller than the smallest subparticle that scientists have yet discovered. Our soul is the smallest of the small, yet God resides within our soul, so it means He's even smaller than the smallest thing while simultaneously being bigger than the biggest thing. He is, in this way, although God is not bound by anything, but in this way that He resides within our soul, it's like our soul is His body. See, we have a physical body, and within our body is our soul. So the soul resides within the body and gives life to it. And God resides within our soul, giving life to our soul. So in that way, it's like our soul is God's body. Although God has His divine body with which He appears on the earth planet as well. We have Radha, Krishna, Sita, Ram. We have many forms in which God has appeared on this earth. So He has His own divine body. Yet, our soul is also called the body of God because God resides within our soul and gives life to it. So He is the soul of our soul because He's giving life to our soul. And He's not only the soul of one soul, He's the soul of all the souls. So He is the supreme soul or Paramatma. So Paramatma is Supreme God, Jivatma is us. Now what is a Mahatma? A Mahatma is the Jivatma who attains Paramatma. They become a Mahatma. So Mahatma specifically means that an ordinary soul who attained God now became a saint. So that saint is defined by the word Mahatma. Nowadays it's used more like a title. So it's used more loosely or more generally, just anyone who is a revered spiritual teacher, whether they're a saint or not, whether they're God-realized or not, you can put the term Mahatma in front of their name as a term of respect. But technically speaking, Mahatma means a soul who has attained God. Mahapurush has a very similar meaning. Purush, in this case, doesn't literally mean a man. Purush means a being, a living being. So we are all Purush. Souls are also referred to as Purush because we're living beings. And we have a Parampurush, the supreme being, because God is also a being. He's alive, sentient, He thinks and does. But He's supreme because He's not limited in any way. And we are limited, so we're just called Purush, we're ordinary, living beings, and there are many, many of us, and there's one supreme being, God. So the Purush who attains Param Purush becomes a Mahapurush. So again, what is a saint is defined already by the word Mahapurush. There's another term that is used for a saint, Mayatit. See, there's Mayadhin, Mayatit, and Mayadhish. Again, three terms using the word Maya. Maya being the cosmic power that's binding all of us. We're all under the bondage of Maya. Under means Adhin. So we are Mayadhin. We're under Maya. God is the Lord of Maya. He's the one who activates Maya and causes it to manifest the universe. And he's the one who deactivates Maya and causes the dissolution of the universe. So he's in control of Maya. So he is called Mayadhish. Dhish means the ruler. Adhish. We are not Mayadhish, we are Mayadhin. But if we attain Mayadhish Bhagwan, then instead of being Mayadhin, we become Mayatit. Atit means beyond. So see, by attaining Mayadhish Bhagwan, we don't become Mayadhish. No soul becomes the ruler of Maya. Jagad Vyapar Varjam. In the Brahma Sutra, Veda Vyasji says, even after attaining God, a soul is still a soul and he never receives the power or the responsibility of creating this universe. So he never becomes Mayadhish, but he does become Mayatit, beyond Maya. He's no longer bound by Maya. Just like if you have a jail and there are thousands of prisoners in that jail, and one prisoner is released. So he's released. He's now beyond the grasp of that jail. Who released him? The government, Sarkar. So who's Sarkar? God is Sarkar. What's the jail? Maya is the jail. And all the souls are under Maya. So they're the residents of that jail. They're the inmates. And those who are released from the jail, those who are released from Maya, by whom are they released? By Sarkar, by the government. So God releases a soul from Maya. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan mayinan tu maheshwaram. Shvetashvatra Upanishad says that Maya is God's power. So, Daivi Yesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mamevaye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite Gita. Only by surrendering to God can a soul be released from Maya. So God does the releasing. Joi bandhe soi chode. The one who's controlling Maya, he can release us. The one who's the ruler of the jail, he can release a soul. But that doesn't mean the jail ceases to exist. The jail is still there and there are still other inmates. There are still other souls residing under the bondage of Maya. But any soul who surrenders to God goes beyond Maya and is free. So they become Mayatit. It's another way to understand what a saint is. Now a question comes, why does a soul have to become a saint? Why does a soul have to attain God? Because there are some people who have heard that soul is God. So if soul is God, then why should a soul need to attain God? So let's look a little more deeply into this philosophy I'm not going to spend the whole week talking very deep philosophy to you. Like I said, I'm going to be sharing the stories of the life of, in particular, three great saints, Dhruv, Bhakt Dhruv, Bhakt Prahlad, and Bhakt Sudama, as these great saints are described in the Bhagavatam. But to understand the philosophy of what a saint is, we need to understand a little bit more deeply into the philosophy of our Sanskrit scriptures. So what do they say about the status of a soul? Is a soul God? Is calling a soul God just like a meaning, like they're synonymous? You can say that's a soul, or you can say that's God. Is it really like that? In Vishnu Puran, God's powers are described. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta Kshetragya Khyatatha Para Avidya Karma Sangyanya Tritiya Shakti Rishyate. Tritiya means three. Tritiya Shakti. Vishnu Puran is saying that God, although He has unlimited powers, three are main. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says the same thing. Krishnera ananta shakti tate tin pradhan. Chit shakti, maya shakti, jiva shakti naam. Antaranga, bahiranga, tatastha kahi jare. Antaranga swarupa shakti savar upare. He also says the same thing, that out of Shri Krishna's uncountable divine powers, three are main. He calls them chit shakti, jiva shakti, and maya shakti. Chit shakti is also referred to as para shakti, the supreme power of God. Swarup shakti, God's personal power. Yoga maya shakti, the power through which God can do anything, make all the impossibles possible. It is also called His antaranga shakti, His internal potency, His internal personal power. So these are all different names for God's supreme power, which we'll call for now swarup shakti, His personal power, or antaranga shakti, His internal power. So that's one. A second power is jeev shakti. And a third power is maya shakti. So maya I described already to you as a power of God. And this power is dependent on God. Maya is not an independently existing power. What that means is maya cannot create the universe on its own. Maya is the energy of the universe. Everything we see around us is made of maya. All the material existence is made of maya. Even swarga and narak are made of maya. But this power, maya, cannot operate on its own. Let's say maya is in that dormant phase we call pralay. During pralay, the whole universe is dissolved. And nothing physically exists. The energy of the universe exists in a subtle and absolutely subtle form. We call mool prakriti maya. So in that form, does maya have any way of activating itself to manifest the universe again? No. God has to activate maya, and after having activated, He has to become omnipresent in the mayic energy in order to uphold the existence of the universe and continue its functioning. God has to be there. So maya is fully dependent on God. Maya is called God's jada shakti. Jada means not alive, not having a mind of its own, just a non-living energy which is powered by God. This is maya. So maya is called His bahiranga shakti. Bahiranga means external potency. Does it mean that Maya exists outside of God? No, that's impossible. Nothing can exist outside of God. God is everywhere. He permeates and envelops everything. So why is Maya called his external potency? Because, two reasons. For one, it doesn't share any of God's divine characteristics. For one, God is Chit. He's alive. Maya's not alive. God is bliss. Maya is not the form of bliss. Maya is, well, we know what Maya is. It gives some pleasure, but pain as well. So we can't say that this Mayic world is the form of bliss. So you can say that the nature of Maya is opposite to God. Whereas God is divine, Maya is material. Whereas God is alive, Maya is jada. Whereas God is bliss, Maya is not. So it is called his external potency. The second reason I'll get to later, why it's called his external potency. And then we have Jeev Shakti, which means all of us, all the souls. Souls are uncountable in number. There's no limit to the number of souls, although there's no new souls being created. So the number of souls in existence is not changing. It's a fixed number. But what is that number? Unlimited. So we can never run out of souls. Even if every moment unlimited souls are becoming God-realized, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate. Ishavasya Upanishad says, if you have an unlimited amount of something and you take unlimited out of that, you still have unlimited left over. And you can keep doing that unlimited times and you will still have unlimited left over. It's math. So we can never run out of souls in this world, in case you were worried. I mean, it's funny what we worry about, right? We think about, oh, getting God realized, I would go to the divine world and get perfect happiness forever. But what if all the souls got God realized? What would happen to this world? Why do we worry about that kind of thing? If we could all go to God, why shouldn't we? But that's what our mind does. We're more attached in this world than to God. So that's the first question that comes up. Before we even think, what would it be like to be with God? We think, what will happen to the world? So anyway, the world can never run out of souls. But we can get God realized. So the souls are called his Tatastha Shakti. Tatast means in the middle. In the middle of what? The Bhagavatam says, Svakrita Pureshva Mishva Biradantara Samvaranam. Soul is not God, nor is it Maya. So it's in the middle. Jeev Goswami says in his Shat Shandarbh, he says, Tatasthatvenam Ubhaya Kotava Praveshat. He says, soul is called Tatasth because it doesn't belong on either side. Soul is not part of Swarup Shakti of God, nor is it part of Maya Shakti. If we were part of Maya Shakti, we would also have to be Jada, right? Lifeless, mindless, not living beings. So we're obviously not part of Maya. But if we were part of God, we would be all-knowing, all-blissful, all-powerful, omnipresent. We are none of those things. We're spot-existent, suffering, little knowing, with very little, almost non-existent power compared to God. So we can't be said to be part of his Swarup Shakti either. So we are Tatast. Someone else may say, but our scriptures say that soul is Ansh of God. Chinmatram Shri Hare Ransham Sukshmam Aksharam Avyayam
Krishnadhinamiti prahur jivam jnana gunashrayam.
Ved says, souls are ansh of God, a part of Him.
Mama ivansho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana Gita.
Krishna says the same thing. All the souls are eternally my ansh. So if we are God's ansh, it must mean we are God. Because if you have an ocean of salt water and you take a drop of that salt water, that drop would be an ansh of the ocean. Now analyze that drop of water and it will be exactly the same as the ocean in every way. It has all the same characteristics as the ocean. Wetness, saltiness, all the same characteristics. Not any less. So if we are ansh of God, whatever God has, we should have too. Not less or more. So again, we come back to the question, if souls are a part of God, then it means we are God. So then what is the need to attain God? The answer is there in our scriptures. Jeev Goswami says, Jeeva shakti vishishtasya eva tava jeevonshah natu shuddhasya. Soul is ansh of jeev shakti, natu shuddhasya. Shuddhasya means the swarup shakti. We are not ansh of God's internal power. Nor are we ansh of His maya shakti, His external power. We are ansh of His tatastha shakti, His jeev shakti, soul power. So all of the souls in existence taken cumulatively equals Krishna's jeev shakti. We do not equal Krishna. We do not equal His swarup shakti. Okay, that's different. Krishna, God, and God's personal power, swarup shakti. We don't belong to that constitutionally speaking. Constitutionally means as far as what power we have. We belong to jeev shakti. Now God is giving life to all of those souls and we cannot exist without Him. So we are His power. But we are His tatastha shakti. It's like you're not in the ocean, nor are you in the forest. You're on the bank, you're on the beach, in between. Kinare pe. You're just on the bank. So we don't belong to the forest, we don't belong in the ocean, because we're not part of swarup shakti, we're not part of maya shakti, we're just in between. We're souls. So we're ansh of, a part of, jeev shakti. So now we know a little bit about what a soul is, which means what we all are. We are ansh of God's, jeev shakti. So we're a part of His soul power. We're each an individually existing soul, which belongs to His soul power. The next question comes, if we are part of His soul power, even if we're not a part of His swarup shakti, being a part of His soul power, why should we be under maya? Why should we not be experiencing God? The answer here is given in the Bhagavatam. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesatasya Dishadapetasya viparyayo smriti. Viparyay, asmriti. Asmriti, we forgot. Who did we forget? Who did we forget? God. We forgot Him and we're turned towards maya. That's the reason we're under maya. God didn't put us under maya. We are under maya because we're turned away from God and towards maya. Therefore, Maya has effect over our intellect. And due to this effect, we even forget who we are. This viparyay means backwards thinking, a wrong understanding. It means when you think you're the body, when you're actually the divine soul inhabiting the body. So if we think we're the body, then what do we think? We think that we're material beings, that we're only going to exist for a short time. Then we follow Charvak Siddhant. Charvak Siddhant means Yavad Jivet Sukham Jivet Rinam Kritva Ghritam Pivet Bhasmi Bhutasya Dehasya Punaragamanankutah. There's nothing after death. You are the body. So when the body dies, you're done. So you better just enjoy as many physical pleasures of this world as you can for as long as you live, because when you die, it's all over. So beg, borrow, and steal. Do what you have to enjoy this world. That's Charvak Siddhant. So even though it sounds crazy when stated in this way, yet we live our life that way much of the time because we live in this consciousness, body consciousness, material consciousness. We forget I am the soul and we think I'm the body. That's viparyay. So if I think I'm the body, I think I'm a material being who's only going to last for a short time, then I'm going to try to satisfy my desire for happiness exclusively through enjoying the material world. And that would make sense and it would work if we were material beings. So this is one of the proofs that we are not material beings, is that we have not been able to satisfy our desire for happiness by enjoying material things. And every one of us sitting here has put forth a Herculean effort in this life alone to enjoy this world to the utmost, yet we're not satisfied yet. Why? Because we're not material beings. That's why. So it's proof that you are the divine soul, you are not this material body. But we've forgotten that, thus we're turned away from God, we're turned towards Maya, so Maya is deluding our intellect even further and offering us all the alluring pleasures of this world, which further multiplies our attachment. And all of that creates a web of bondage in our mind, like a downward spiral, you can say, of just desiring the world and enjoying and getting more attached but not being satisfied, so trying to enjoy more and getting more attached and getting more and more tunnel vision towards just enjoying the world. So this is called attachment, or it's called moha, being completely deluded by the mayic energy. But if we remember we're the soul and we turn towards God, which happens automatically if you think you're the soul, you realize, well, how can the material world satisfy my soul? Oh, God is divine. He can satisfy my soul. So divine happiness could satisfy me forever. So God did not put us under bondage. We are eternally under the bondage of Maya. Even though we belong to Jeev Shakti, we're a power of God, yet because we're ansh, we're infinitesimal. So even though we're a spark of divinity, but just like, you see, let's say we have something metal, like the knob on this harmonium. There's a little bit of sparkle in that, but not like the sun. You see, the sun can never be overcome by darkness. There's a little unch of the sun in this metal. It's reflecting some light. There's an unch of light in there, an unch of the sun. But it's not powerful enough to overcome darkness. If there's no sun and there's no other light, the darkness will overcome the shine in this metal. Something like that, our soul, although we're unch of God, just like a spark of the sun, yet the ansh on its own is not enough to overcome the darkness. So that's why the darkness, being Maya, has overcome us, because we've forgotten God. Krishna bhuli se jeev anadi bahirmukh. Ataev Maya tare deya sansar dukh. Because we have eternally forgotten about God and we're bahirmukh, we're turned away from Him. Therefore, Maya has given us suffering after suffering in all of our lifetimes, only because we're turned away from God. So since we're only an ansh, if we're turned away from God, Maya, the darkness envelops us. But vilajjamanaya yasya sthatumi chapathe muya bhagutam. Darkness cannot stand in front of the sun. Jaha surya taha nahi mayar adhikar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ji says, where there's the sun, where there's God, darkness cannot be. So maya cannot exist where God is. It means if a soul turns to God, maya is vanished instantly. That's the only way to get rid of Maya. This is also the second reason why Maya is called the external power of God. Because vilajjamanaya yasya, Maya cannot stand in front of God. If God is there, Maya is gone. If the sun is there, darkness is gone. So that's why Maya is called the external power of God. It's a way of understanding it. So, we are eternally turned away from God. We never turned away. It never happened. Because had we ever been turned towards God, how could the darkness have come? Maya can't come and take over if we're turned towards God. So, had we ever been with God, we could have never come under the bondage of Maya. So, we are eternally jivatma under Maya. Eternally. We never came under Maya. We're eternally under Maya. But any soul who surrenders to God goes beyond Maya. And surrendering means turning towards God. And you turn towards God through following the path of bhakti. And we're going to learn how to follow the path of bhakti by studying the life of these great saints that I mentioned. One more point I'll clear up tonight before we finish with some kirtan is that people wonder that if God is omnipresent, why are we not experiencing Him? It comes back to that question, you know, well, we cleared up the question that soul is not God, okay? Soul is soul, God is God. So soul has to attain God in order to become perfectly happy. But is soul not already attaining God? Because God is omnipresent. Purukha eve dagvam sarvam yad bhutam yaccha bhavyam. Purush sukt. God is everywhere. He pervades everything. Ishavasimi dagvam sarvam yad bhutam yaccha bhavyam yad bhut yat kincha jagatyan jagat. Ishavasya Upanishad. Vasudevam sarvamiti. Gita. Sarvam khalvidam brahma. Chandogya Upanishad. Everything is pervaded by God. There's not an atom or a particle of this universe that is separate from God. Then why are we not experiencing God? Ananda Sindhu Madhya Tava Vasa Vinu Jane Katamarasi Piyasa. We're dying of thirst, yet we're swimming in the ocean of nectar-like water. How are we dying of thirst when we're swimming in the ocean of nectar-like water? We're desiring happiness, yet we're swimming in the ocean of bliss because God is everywhere. So why are we not experiencing that bliss? Because our lips are sealed tight. You're swimming in the ocean of bliss, but your lips are sealed tight. It means we're not surrendered to God. So we're not letting that bliss in. Or another way to understand would be with an analogy. Like if you stuff a lump of salt in the cheek of a tiny little ant, and then you have a big mound of sugar, and you put that little ant on that mound of sugar, and let the ant walk around on that mound all day. And when she gets back at the end of the day and talks to her companions who are also wandering around and eating the sugar on that mound, and they talk about their day, the others are all talking about how they spent the whole day on that mound of sugar and how sweet it was. And this one with the lump of salt in her mouth is saying, "What are you all talking about? That was a mountain of salt. Why are you calling a mountain of salt a mountain of sugar?" And everybody else is saying, "Why are you calling a mountain of sugar a mountain of salt?" That's what the saints say to us. What's the matter with you? God is everywhere. Can't you see Him? I'm seeing Him. I'm experiencing the divine bliss. And we say, what's the matter with you? What are you talking about? God is everywhere. I have eyes. I don't see Him. So the little ant is saying, I have taste buds, and all I tasted was salt. You cannot tell me that was a mountain of sugar. But it's because her taste buds were spoiled by the salt she already had in her mouth, so she could only taste the salt, even though she was eating sugar all day. Similarly, God is omnipresent in this world, and we're enjoying the things of the world that constantly give us disappointment and pain. Yet God is in those things. So we're not experiencing God. We've got Maya inside of us. We've let Maya inside of us, and we're not surrendered to God. So even though God is present in everything we enjoy in this world, we've never experienced Him because we're not surrendered to Him. Our senses, mind, and intellect are made of Maya. So how can we experience divine God? We can't. So even though He's omnipresent, we can't experience Him, we haven't experienced Him, but we will experience Him if through practicing bhakti, we purify our heart, we become surrendered to Him, and we receive His grace. And through His grace, we'll receive swarup shakti, that divine personal power, which enters our senses, mind, and intellect, and makes them divine. Then we experience what the saints experience. Oh, you were right. It's like taking the salt out of your mouth. Now you can taste the sweetness. So eliminate Maya, and then you realize, oh, God was here all along. Meaning, eliminate the bondage of Maya on you. The world is still here, but you see God in everything and experience Him in everything. That's the status of a saint. So we're going to learn about how three great devotees of God attain that status and how we can apply those lessons in our life. So we'll continue with this topic from tomorrow. And now we'll have some kirtan.
Radhe, Radhe, Govinda bhajo. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda. घन चित घन सुख कंदा राधे राधे गोविंदा द Do sat ghan chit ghan sukh kanda Radhe Radhe Govinda. चकोर है दो है चंदा राधे राधे गोविंदा दो चकोर है दो है चंदा राधे राधे गोविंदा भज मन युगल चरण अरविंदा भज मन युगल चरण अरविंदा राधे राधे गोविंदा भज मन युगल चरण अरविंदा राधे राधे गोविंदा छंदा राधे राधे गोविंदा Ganga. Neti neti karanjehi shruti chanda Radhe Radhe Govinda. Lajat lakhat gati mat gayanda Radhe Radhe Govinda. Lajat lakhat gati mat gayanda Radhe Radhe Govinda. Bhaju bhaju ber na karu mati manda Radhe Radhe Govinda. Bhaju bhaju ber na karu mati manda Bhaju bhaju ber na karu mati manda Radhe Radhe Govinda. Bhaju chal chanda bhaju mati manda Radhe Radhe Govinda. Bhaju chal chanda bhaju mati manda Radhe Radhe Govinda. Anand hu ko de ananda आनंदहु को दे आनंदा राधे राधे गोविंदा को दे आनंदा राधे राधे गोविंदा
Radhe Radhe
Radhe Govinda Bhaje Radhe Radhe Govinda
लाडली लाल की।